to your Bibles today. Psalm chapter 139. Psalm 139. As we have been looking this year at the attributes of our God, that we might know Him, that we might know more about Him as the Scriptures reveal Him to us, that we have as clear understanding as we can have in regards to who God is, and as the Scriptures tell us and declare Him to us, that we would be able to have that understanding and that knowledge of Him. Because it is in that correct understanding of who God is, what the Scriptures declare to us, that we are truly able to know Him then. The world is full of ideas about who God is. The world is full of, and in these ideas, they are, sorted. They are all kinds of crazy notions that they have about who God is and His power and so on, that are absolutely contradictory to what the Scriptures declare of Him. And what I desire for us in this, as we look at these particular attributes of our God, is that we have a clear understanding of what the Scriptures describe for us of who God is, His person, and His character, and His power, and His attributes that are given for us here in the Word of God. And today we're going to begin a section of these attributes that are called non-communicable attributes, or Thomas Holcraft called them non-moral attributes. These are attributes that are speaking specifically of God's power. And we're going to only look at one of them today. And here in Psalm 139, you actually have three of them mentioned. And we're going to look at one today. There's the omniscience of God, the fact that He knows all things. There is His omnipotence, the fact that He is all-powerful. All power belongs to Him. And thirdly, His omnipresence, that He is everywhere present. Now, these three things that are brought to our understanding here in Psalm 139, we're going to look at the omnipresence of our Lord today and the comfort that comes with that reality, that our God is everywhere we are. He is everywhere present. He's everywhere. There's no other way to describe it. He simply is everywhere. And when He leaves from one place and goes to another, He takes no part of Him with Him. He's still there, wherever He goes. And yet we see His movement in the Scriptures as He described coming to His people in different places, and as He makes Himself known in these different situations. He still, even though He makes Himself known, He makes Himself manifest in one particular spot, He's still everywhere present, you see. That he's not in any way diminished in one part of the universe because He reveals Himself or manifests Himself in another location, you see. He is everywhere present. Now, these are called non-moral attributes, because they don't speak to His holiness, they don't speak to His righteousness, doesn't speak to His justice. He is simply describing His power in these three. He is all-powerful, He is all-knowing, and He is all-present. And these non-moral attributes are only a comfort because of who He is morally. Because He is a righteous God. The righteous God. Because He is the holy God. Because He is our present help in time of need. Because He is absolutely just and absolutely right. Because He does all things good. Then these three realities of His power, that He is all-knowing, that He is all-powerful, that He is all-present, then those things become a comfort to us because of who He is morally, you see. That's a wonderful thing, to know that our God is in absolute control, that He is all power. It's a wonderful thing for us to know The God of heaven is ever present with his people. It's a wonderful thing for us to know that our God knows everything, including everything about us, even to the number of hairs upon our head. Nothing too trivial for him to know, you see. That's a comfort. Now, if our God was not a moral God in the sense that he is not holy, that he is not just, that he is not right, if as man will so often build gods of their own imaginations up to be. I mean, you look at the gods of the Romans and the Greeks and how they elevated them up. They were wicked things. And yet they would try to put these same kind of powers on these gods made after the image of man. And as one of their own poets said of them, why would we want to worship them? They're no different than us. They're no different than us. They just got more power. But they're just as wicked. That would not be a comfort, you see. So it is the morality of our God and who he is as a holy, just, righteous, good God. It is who he is there that gives us comfort in his power. That he is absolutely powerful, has all power, he has all knowledge, and he is everywhere present. And so today, we're going to be looking at this ever-presence of our God, omnipresence. We hear a lot of times in the Christmas song that Santa Claus is that way. Santa Claus is not omnipresent. Only God is omnipresent. People will fix in their mind. People will fix in their minds that Satan is omnipresent. He is not omnipresent. Only God is omnipresent. He is the one with this power. And so these things only apply to him, you see. So that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. Go with me, Psalm 139, verse number 7. Look with me at these passages here. As David will describe for us here the omnipresence of the Lord. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there, Shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. He is everywhere present. Everywhere present. Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer before we continue our study. Our Father in heaven, we thank you again for this day. We thank you, Father, for your goodness and for your grace. We thank you for your word this day and what you've given us in it. Father, we pray that you'd help us to understand you more, that we would know more about you, that we would draw closer to you because of who you are, that you would ever, Father, make yourself known to us, your people. Forgive us of our many sins and our shortcomings and how often, Father, we come short of your glory. And help us this day to honor and glorify your name as we've met here to worship you. Father, if there be any lost in our midst this day, we pray that you would open their eyes to see Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior even this very hour, that they might have Christ, that they might be able to stand and say, Jesus is my Lord this day. Father, we pray that you save souls. Father, remember those many on our prayer list. Father, as we bring their names before you, as we bring these upon our hearts before you, we know that you hear, our pleas, Father, that you know these things that are upon our hearts. And so, Father, we pray that you would intervene, that you would work, that you would do according to your precious will, that all things would be done as you see fit, Father, and that we might glorify you because of it. Go with us now. As we look to your word, again, give us understanding of these things. For we ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. In regards to the omnipresence of the Lord, Augustine said of it, he says, he knows how to be everywhere in his whole being and to be limited to no spot or no place, rather. He knows how to come without departing from the place where he was. He knows how to go away without leaving the place whither he has come. I love that, how he describes it. He's everywhere present. He's everywhere present. His omnipresence is very important to us. After the fall, Adam and Eve tried unsuccessfully to hide from him in the garden. He knew exactly where they were at. Jonah thought he could flee from his presence, but he discovered God's presence there on the sea, and even inside the great fish, he could not escape the presence of his Lord. He's ever present. Thomas Holcraft said in his book on the attributes of God, he says, the Bible is an extensive record of the ever-available, omnipresent God searching for lost and needy mankind. Though he is everywhere, he goes on to say, he is not everywhere in the same sense. He is depicted particularly as dwelling in heaven, and as being at least unrecognized, if not absent, from the sinner's heart and from the regions of hell, and yet even still, he is ever present. He is ever present. Burkhoff said it like this, the nature of his indwelling is in harmony with that of his creatures. He does not dwell on earth as he does in heaven, in animals as he does in man, in the inorganic as he does in the organic creation, in the wicked as he does in the pious, nor in the church as he does in Christ. Yet he is everywhere, everywhere present. This reality of our Lord's omnipresence, the fact that he is everywhere, it should, especially for the children of God, it should be a great comfort for us to know that our Lord is ever present, that he is everywhere. But he's not in everything. Obviously, he's not in the rock, even though he's the one that made the rock. He's not in the tree, but he's in his creation, is in his people. He's still ever present in them and with them. And yet we shut our minds and our hearts to this fact, to this reality. And we forget about his presence in the everyday actions of our lives. How often have we just been busy and doing and be about life, and we're not recognizing that God is ever present with us? How often we've set out to do things in our own strength and our own ability and keep failing miserably in the doing and never consider the presence of our Lord with us. I know it's trivial, but there are many times where I've went about in my own strength and my own ability and failed miserably, and I have to stop. Even on the simplest of things, I have to stop and say, Lord, I need your help here. This is driving me nuts. I need help doing this simple thing. Can you help me in this moment get this done? I have to get it done. Can you help me, Lord, get it? And then it just falls. It seems like it just falls together. And it'd be something trivial, just something that we would not even consider necessarily God's presence in. And yet it just goes to show us that in those times, even though it's something trivial, even though it's something small, even though it's something every day, it goes to show us that we need his presence continually. We need his strength every single day, every single moment, every single task that we are doing. We must have him. We cannot do life without him. That we are ever dependent upon our Lord. That should bring us great comfort. But so easy it seems that we so easily forget this reality that our God is ever present with us. Thankfully, we praise Him. Our forgetfulness does not change His attributes. Even when we forget, He's still there. Even when we don't recognize Him, He's still there. Even when we feel, and let me tell you, for the child of God, we can get in a place, we can get into depression, we can get in a bad way, in grief at times, we can be in a way that we feel we're all alone. And yet He's still there. He's still there. And so even when we don't feel Him, even when we don't feel Him, we can rest assured He has not changed. He is still there. He is the ever-present God. The ever-present God. We cannot escape from His presence. Jeremiah chapter 23, Jeremiah writes here in verse 23, and then in verse 24, Jeremiah 23, verse 23 and 24. God says, "Am I God at hand, saith the Lord? Am I God far off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I feel heaven and earth, saith the Lord? Can't hide from him." Oh, man, in his sin, so often we get it in our minds that, well, I'll go on and I'll give myself to this wickedness, I'll give myself to this sin, and it'll just be one thing, and it'll be, God will understand, God, I'll ask forgiveness for it later, and just go on in our wickedness and never even contemplate He's right there with us in it. And what a grief. What a grief for the Spirit of God when the child of God is dragging Him through our sin with us. He is ever present. Ever present. He fills it all. He makes himself manifest in different ways. His glorious presence in heaven, his powerful and providential presence with his creatures upon the earth, his gracious presence with his elect as he makes himself known to us. And yet he fills it all with a massiveness that is God. Isaiah 66 and verse number 1. Isaiah 66 and verse number 1, last chapter of the book of Isaiah. He says, "Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? The heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool." And yet, in his massiveness, yet he dwells within his people. He dwells within us. He is ever, ever present. Ever present. He does not leave us alone. He is always near. Psalm 119 and verse 151, David would write here in this wonderful psalm about the Lord and his presence. He says, Psalm 119 and verse 151. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. Thou art near. He is always near. He's near when we set him before us. As David would say in Psalm 16 and verse number 8, I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. That's verse speaking of the Lord Jesus himself. And he would not be moved from his purpose to die in our stead. And so the Lord is present when we set him before us. He tells us in Psalm 34 and verse number 18 that he is near to the contrite in spirit. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. He's present to those that are contrite of spirit or in need of his presence. He's near to us when we call upon him. Psalm 145 and verse number 18, David says here again, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him. To all that call upon him in truth. He's near to all that call. No one can stand against us. For our champion is always near. Isaiah 50 and verse number 8 and 9. He is near that justifieth me. He will contend with me. Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. Nobody's going to stand against my God. He's always near. Always near. That's what Paul would account for us there in Romans chapter 8 in regards to God's care over us and his watch care for his people. When he says there in verse 33 and 34 of Romans 8, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Then he goes on to say, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? That is, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He is ever, ever present. Ever present. And in his ever presence, for his children, as we seek him, he makes that presence known. He makes that presence known to us. And what a comfort. What a comfort that is. When we know the presence of our Lord. When we know he's there. When we know that he is ever present, even in the midst of the worst of our trials, he makes himself known. David would say, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. He's ever present. So that wherever we may find ourselves, in whatever condition we may find ourselves in, he's always, always there. Always there. And for that reason, child of God can enjoy, or should enjoy, the presence of the Lord. It should be something that we desire to see His presence manifest to us. He's always present. But we can find ourselves, as we were talking about this morning in Sunday school in regards to Lot, we can find ourselves that though He's always present, we can find ourselves in a situation where we're not even recognizing His presence. When we don't see Him, we don't feel Him, again, that doesn't change His presence. He's still there. But we can shut ourselves off to see that reality of His presence with us. We can reject even the presence of God. But for His people, if we would recognize, if we would recognize the Lord's presence with us daily, it is a great, great comfort for the children of God. I mentioned to you a few weeks ago that poem, Footprints. And it's a real pretty poem. It talks about a guy saying he looked back on his life and he saw these footprints in the sand and said he saw this. He kind of complains to the Lord over it. He said, "Lord, through all of these times in my life, I see those two sets of prints, and yet through the hardest times in my life, there's only one set of prints." The Lord tells him, says, "Well, that those prints was me with you." He says, "Yeah, but in those hardest times, there's only one set there." And the Lord explains to him, "Well, in those, that's when I was carrying you." A friend of mine preaches on this. He says, "That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard." He said, "There's always just one set of footprints because the Lord is always carrying us." We need Him daily. We've got to have Him constantly. He said, "We're dependent upon Him. He is ever, even when we do not look for Him, even when we're not wanting to see Him, He's still there. He's ever present." Ever present. And so for us especially, it should be a joy for us to recognize the presence of our Lord. Ever present. Ever present. David says in Psalm 57 and verse 1, "My soul trusteth and I rest under the shadow of His wings." In Psalm 63 and verse number 7, he would say of Him here, Psalm 63 and verse 7, it says, "Because thou hast seen my help, therefore in the shadow," or "thou hast been rather my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice." We can abide under the shadow of His wings. He says in 91 and verse 1, Psalm 91 and verse 1, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." We go through bad times in this life. We go through trials, we go through tribulations. It is a promise of the child of God that as long as we are here in this flesh, as long as we reside here in this earth, we're going to go through hard times. It's just a reality. It's because of sin, the sin curse that is upon this world, that these things are a reality for us. And we go through it because we're here. We live here. We're still in this flesh. We still are sinners before God. And our flesh, as far as it's concerned, and life. And so we still have all of these realities
of the tribulations and the sorrows and the sicknesses and the distresses and the hardships that are a reality for any that is living upon this earth. And when we go through these times, these bad times, or when we go, for that matter, through the good times, when we have the joys and the happy times and the good things and the fortunes that are coming our way, even when we are enjoying those things as well, even in those, we may feel like we are alone. We may not recognize the presence of the Lord. But you can trust His Word. He says to us that He has exalted His Word above His name. He's exalted His Word above His name. So what He declares in His Word is the absolute truth. And what He tells us is, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I am the ever-present God. That's what He tells us. And so we can have total faith. We have total confidence in the promise of our Lord. He is always near. Always near. He describes to us in the Scriptures, in Galatians chapter 4, Romans chapter 8, verses 14 and 16 especially, He describes to us there that He indwells His children. He gives us His Spirit. His Spirit resides within us. He describes to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 that we are His temple even, the place where He resides in this earth. He's always present. And this is, for us, a great joy, a great hope. He stands over us as the shadow of His hand. He is the rock that we stand upon. He is the banner that goes before us. He is the fortress that is our defense. He is our rear guard that watches over. He is the one that comes alongside and sticks closer than a brother. David says again, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? Yeah, even the children of God will run from the presence of God. And yet David says, I can't get away from you. I can't get away from you. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Our God is the ever-present God. Ever present. I hope, I pray that that reality is a comfort to your soul. It's a comfort to mine. It's a comfort to mine because I know He's always there. Always there. So that even when I don't call on Him, He's there. And when I do call on Him, He's there. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Our Lord is ever present. Do you need Him today? Do you need His presence? Do you need His strength? Do you need His help? Call on Him. Call on Him. He is the ever-present God. He's the only one. The only one. Let's all stand. Brother Jonathan, you raise the song.
Well, I'm